So I'm going to go ahead and ask you all to, if you want to take some note, I'm going to ask you to take out your phone and just write down a couple things. You don't have to write it on your phone. You can put it in your mind. It's not a test. I'm not asking you to send anything. But this question, we're going to take about a minute or so. What has been on your mind? What has your mind been focused on this past week? Could be one thing. Could be three things. Could be five things. I'm only giving you a minute. So if you've got a million things on there, pick your top 10. But it just, you know, just I want you to think through it. Well, what has my mind been focused on this week? What keeps on coming back? What keeps on coming to mind? What do I keep on focusing on? So just spend that time. Janice, I should ask you to play some music, but I know. That's what I get for not knowing what I'm doing. I'll let you participate, not focus on working the whole time. We might not take a full minute, but just what has your mind been focused on? Can you think of it just in this past week? What has your mind been focused on this past week? Is there anybody brave enough that would like to share? What's been on your mind? You don't have to share. Is there anybody brave enough? Yes, the young lady in the back. Awesome. That's a lot. You see a kid that's been around you all for quite a bit, and so... Yeah, so the... Yeah. When an... Yeah. Yeah, so that it's hard for that not to consume your mind. We're happy that you are negative. Oh, wow. Anybody else like to share? Okay, don't have to. Does anybody else want to share anything? Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, to have to leave someone you love at the doorway, in the hospital, in an ambulance, and you couldn't even go to the ambulance, you had to stay at home, and then they give you this phone call and say, by the way, he's dead. I'm going, excuse me. And, they had such a bedside manner.
Sure. or something you've been preparing for 20 years?
Yes.
And the Lord's been, and perhaps the Lord's been gracious in that, because it's not just all of a sudden, man, great health, Iron Man, and then pneumonia, COVID. Yeah. I'm not sure how many, I know how many times he told me that I'm ready to go. I can't wait for Streets of Gold. If I heard that many times, I'm not sure how many times you all have heard that, how many times a day. Well, thank you for sharing. In the interest of time, won't have everybody share, but I do appreciate it. But I bet you didn't even expect, that's probably not an expected outcome of Joe passing away, that you're not going to be psychologist on top of running a store. Oh, I bet he was well loved by so many. So you all have had time to think about it. Lots of different stressors, frustrations, things going on, praises, happinesses, lots of things. But my guess is, if you're saying what my mind has been focused on, it probably hasn't been, man, I've been just so consumed with the Lord and His Scripture. I've been so consumed with His presence, with His love, with His this, His that. I've just been so delighted in God. Did anybody have that in their top? And I'm not trying to shame all you all, because I'm sure if I tried to do this without, I can't. But I'm guessing that 99% I would have said, yeah, my whole thought this week. Did anybody have that? You know, man, the Lord's really been a lot on my mind this week. In a good way. Yeah, and that's natural. What we react to the physical world, forgetting that the spiritual supernatural is just as real. And so we're going to look at Psalm 1. And before I get that, just a quick thought. Just with your sanctified imaginations, what do you think Jesus' thought life was like? What do you think he is focused on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis? I'm sorry? Yeah, his father's business. Certainly there is, because, I mean, you guys have people coming in and sharing, you know, we're so sorry. I'm sure they're doing it in their hearts probably to help minister to you, because they want to say, hey, you know what? We love him. We love you. And so, but they're also trying to heal. And this is, love you, good luck. If I could be a resource, love to. But, I mean, that's tough. So, but Jesus, he had all these people coming with all these hurts, these burdens. And it says that he was moved with compassion. And that's why he healed so often. But yeah, his mind was consistently the thoughts of the Lord, the things of the Lord, the actions of God. I believe that's what he was generally consumed with. Unfortunately, we're not fully God, fully man. So we have our flesh we got to struggle with too many seconds of each minute. It's tough. We have, and the concerns we have are not unreal. It's not illegitimate. Man, if this kid had COVID, what's going to happen to me, the folks that I love? What's going to, the health, the everything else going on? Are we going to be able to, man, no, these are not illegitimate concerns. I think fear, in a healthy sense, has its place. It keeps us, fear of fire keeps me from jumping into a fire. The fear of dying in a car wreck keeps me from going 90 miles an hour down 98 with no seatbelt on. We don't want to consume our lives. But I imagine Jesus, his thoughts were just all about God. And so last week, if you remember, probably don't, we talked about John chapter 15. Jesus spoke about, I'm the true vine, so abiding in me. He said, abide in me and I in you. I, as the branch, cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he as it bears fruit. In the last part, he can do nothing apart from me. It's just that we need that. We know that. We're not stupid. Even if we've never seen this verse before, it makes a lot of sense as followers of Christ. Oh, yeah, apart from Jesus, I can do nothing worthwhile. And then he ends at verse 11. I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. So there's this great joy There's this great delight in doing these things, in abiding in Jesus, as tempting as everything else is. Is there joy in dwelling in the concerns of this world, the political concerns, the health concerns? If that consumes our thought process, is there joy in that? Of course there's not. He says, abide in me. So like I say, if you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalm, just the first Psalm here today. I love Psalm 1. As I was praying, I'm like, I feel like I've preached this before, but I can't find it, and we need to hear it again. This is good stuff. It might be from a different viewpoint or whatever. We're going to do Psalm chapter 1 today and just kind of focusing on one key piece. So the psalmist, he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law. And it's not necessarily just the law, those 613 commandments, but the instructions of the Lord, what God has revealed in his scripture. His delight is in these things of the Lord. And on his law, on his instructions, on these things he's revealed, he meditates. How often? Just in his quiet time in the morning, like a good Christian. No, it's day and night. It's this all-consuming day and night. These are the things that are in his mind. So we can see these are the things he is thinking about, not that there's not worldly things going on. This is where his delight comes from. This Hebrew word for delight is also joy. They can be translated different ways, but the delight, the joy, he finds it in the instructions of the Lord. But let's go back here up to verse 1. So blessed is man. He doesn't do these three things. And we'll quickly work through these because I don't want to spend too much time. I want to spend more on the positive stuff. But he walks not in the counsel of the wicked. So this is kind of a progression going on. So the walking. So as I'm going, as I'm moving throughout the day, it's not in those things that I hear coming into my mind. The counsel of the wicked, those who are those things that are not from God. So I'm moving, some of the things are good, but I'm hearing some good things, some things that really percolate my ear. The counsel of the wicked. And I would go so far as to say, anybody who is not a follower of Jesus Christ, I'd be really apprehensive. You know, there's some wisdom, it all comes from God, but just because perhaps it fits our political view or whatever, I'd be very, very cautious about what I let into me. We know that the purpose of the news and media, yes, it originally to educate us, but they're just trying to make a living, aren't they? Whether it's CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, they're trying to make revenue, are they not? And so you get these folks who get all hyped up and excited about this political side or that political side, and if we let all that consume our minds, we start walking in that counsel, and it's not coming from Jesus. How many of these folks are actually followers of Jesus Christ? I'll get off that political soap, but we want to, is that where, should we be walking in that counsel? And it can fit, we can justify it with some of our scriptures, but we got to be super careful how we walk. So we're moving, but then it goes on to the next step, who stands in the way of sinners. All right, so I'm not swooning, but all right, now I'm starting to get a little firmer here. You know, this is becoming me. This is becoming who I am. The way of sinners, those who are saying, this is now becoming a lifestyle thing for me, not just kind of here or there or whatever. And then finally sits in the sea of scoffers. So now I'm taking firm rest there. And that seat of scoffers, so it goes from not just, all right, the sinners, this is what I'm doing, but the scoffers, these are ones who are fully endorsing. They're evangelistically perhaps promoting the sin. You know, it's one thing to do it. It's another thing to say, hey, come in, this will be great. Come in, this will be doing it. I think back to high school type years. So you have some folks who would engage in perhaps, you know, some drug use, some things of that nature. And there's, you know, folks who dabble, whatever. That's not wise. Those, I'd say the folks who are, you're just, they're walking in counsel of the wicked. They're not doing smart things. And the folks, you know those kids that they went from just kind of some light using to this kind of became who they were. Their identity was the drinker guy or the smoker girl, or, you know, that became their identity. And then you have and it can turn on to the base of the drug dealer. You know, I am now, you know, trying to get my friends in. Let's do all this together. But this could be just, I mean, anything in our lives. That's just kind of what popped into my mind. If you want to analyze me, I'll go to the boot store for a counseling session, and you can analyze me. I'll analyze you, and we'll all leave, you know, concerned and confused. But we want to be careful about this, which is why he says verse 2, no, it's not the world, which is so easy because there's so many voices, but his delight is in the instruction of the Lord. We have here 66 books revealing who God is, revealing God to us. In the grand scheme of eternity, of everything about God, this is really small. I wish Beatty was here. Has anybody seen Beatty's Bible? Raise your hand if you've seen Beatty's Bible. It sits in his little pocket. It's a, I don't know how he reads it. His eyes are older than mine. Like, you don't know how does he, this, but that way he has something he can carry on him. Beatty, if you're listening, I love you, brother, and glad you have, you always have the Word of God on you. But as you can go through, like, this is what we have revealed for sure about who God is. Just in this little book. And that's the beauty of Scripture. Yes, we can learn, all right, here's how we ought to act, how we ought not to act, these things. But what it primarily does is this reveals who God is and His glory and His splendor. And that's why we can delight in it. We don't necessarily delight, all right, well, thank you so much, Lord. I'm glad you killed all those bad people with the flood in Genesis. That was fantastic. I'm so happy. This makes me, I'm going to go share this great news with everybody. But we can see His, man, if you were willing to cancel out kill everybody, but you're willing to still work with me, Lord, whew, I probably wouldn't have made it on that ark. I'm not sure about any of you. That door's closing, and I'm doing whatever else. I hope not, but we're going to focus on His delight is in the law of the Lord, the instructions. On this, He meditates day and night. He's thinking about it over and over and over again. Just this wonderful stuff, His goodness, His glory. And what is He like, verse 3? He's like that tree planted by streams of water. So you got this one tree and the streams of water. What I used to love doing as a kid, kind of still like doing as a big kid, you go to the beach and just dig in a big hole until you get down to the water. It's not as fun when you're right where the waves are crashing in, but you get a little bit further back, and I don't know, that was always a challenge for me growing up, is I want to dig this hole until I get to water, and it was kind of, all right, I made it, I got it 3 feet deep or whatever. And why is the water there in the sand? That makes no sense, except it's permeating the ground. It's permeating, so you got these streams of living water going everywhere. You got the tree, it's not in the water, but the streams going next to it. That soil is so saturated. That's the perfect spot for this tree to be. It doesn't matter what happens in the world around it, if it rains or not. It's got moisture, does it not? It's the same thing with us. Man, we can be in the midst of a global health crisis. We can have nonsense going on politically all around us, whether the person we like or don't like gets elected, whether our businesses succeed or fail, whether the church gets any more money or not, whether we get a fantastic system of cameras and whatever, or Brian's iPhone breaks and we got nothing. That stuff is irrelevant. My delight, my joy is in the Lord, what He's revealed to us. So this message is to just encourage us, not to condemn us, because we're all guilty of what might be draw you in isn't going to, like, well, that, if I'm going to listen to my flesh, I say, well, that's stupid. Well, they'll say, hey, Brian, what about this? This is pretty dumb of you. Hey, don't meddle with me. We all have these things where the counsel, the whatever, is going to be tempting to us. But no, we want to be planted by these streams of living water. Because what does it do? Yeah, it yields its fruit. So where they're planted by love, it yields fruit in its season. Not necessarily right now when I'm on it. We love instant gratification, and that's why we go with the counsel of the wicked, the way of the sinners, the seed of scoffers, because we like something right now. It feels pretty good right now to get worked up about an issue. It does, but it doesn't bring eternal joy. Does it not? We get excited and ramped up. We feed our bellies with all sorts of food that's not necessarily good for us. I've said it 1,000 times. I love chips, so I'll eat the whole bag, and it feels good halfway through, and you just keep on going because you can't stop, and then at the end you have a stomachache, and it's horrible. And that's sin. We do it because it feels good. It meets something within us. But no, when we delight in the Lord, His instructions, because we're delighting in Him, it saturates us. He said meditating day and night is like that stream on one side, the stream on the other. It's, man, how is this not going to permeate and infect in a good way who we are? than the season that yields the fruit. This might not be the right season. Or even the fruit that's produced might not be good fruit. My understanding with grapes, when you're trying to make the wine, that first season, at least, it's not good wine. The grapes aren't right yet. Something has to happen where it has to mature for a number of years, that fruit, before it can be profitable for jelly or jam or wine or grape juice or whatever is going on. But I want things now. Anybody else with me? But in its season, an olive, its leaf does not wither. So even if the fruit is not being produced, you can tell that, okay, this tree, this bush, this plant is healthy. It's got green leaves. It's doing okay. So we see similarly, we could see an evangelist. Is an evangelist not doing his job or her job if somebody's not coming to Christ every day? That'd be a silly expectation to have, wouldn't it? Or similarly with us. But you could tell a person, no, they're still walking with the Lord. I can tell they're spiritually healthy. You know, they're planting the seeds, they're doing whatever. And when the time comes, but they're there with the Lord. Likewise, we can tell when our leaves get wilted. So it's that encouragement to stay with him. And I love the psalmist, he goes and for just a reminder, hey, the wicked are not so, but chafe that the wind drives away. This stuff which seems appealing, it doesn't produce anything good. Chafe that blows away, that stomach ache after eating that whole bag of chips, when we get all riled up, we get all consumed with things that are not of God, it creates more anxiety within us, it creates more tensions within us, it creates more of a critical spirit, it does all sorts of unhealthy things. It says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment. So just a reminder to us, hey, why follow these things? These things aren't even pleasing to God. It's not a, hey, watch out, if you do enough of this, I'm sorry, you've tilted the scale and all of a sudden you're not acceptable in God's eyes. But just a reminder, which should hit our souls, no, hey, this isn't what God likes anyways. I know that, but I needed that reminder. The wicked will not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So all what they're trying to do, persuade, whatever, this isn't going to yield anything lasting. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. It might not feel like it today. It might feel like you're abandoned, that I'm just left out in the middle of these rivers. We got the hurricane blowing in around us. We got all sorts of stuff. Lord, what's going on? Hey, don't worry. Stay with me. Remember, the way of the wicked will perish. So as we wrap up our message, so how do I delight in the instruction of the Lord? I mean, from seeing this, it says it's very clear. We'll go back. See, Scott, it is nice to have the clicker in my hand, so I don't have to say, hey, Scott, you get it. If it says the delight is in the law of the Lord, this law meditates. And so it's by delighting. If you look at verse 2 to verse 3, it's that delight in the law of the Lord. That's the only thing. That's what delighting in God, that's what produces the fruit. It doesn't say simply knowledge about God. Hey, if you're a biblical scholar, but you're far off, then you got it. Did our Pharisees and Sadducees have great fruit? It was pretty awful fruit, wasn't it? The knowledge will come about him as we're meditating. How can his word not consume you? You know it because you're just closer with him. So I just want to make that point. It's that delight. It's that joy in the instructions of the Lord. It's not because this is the Bible, this is the fourth person in the Trinity. No, this is because this reveals the three people in the Trinity, the three Godheads. So we get to learn more about God. So how do I do this? How do I delight in the instruction of the Lord? Because once again, we've all been there in seasons or days, or perhaps this has been your entire life where, man, okay, Brian, I try my best, I read it, but I'm getting nothing out of this. I just had a conversation with a great friend when I was on my trip. He said, you know, I see these pastors, and it's clear they have a great relationship with God. And he's a younger, older, I mean, he's probably somewhere in his 60s. He said, I've never felt that way. I've never felt like, man, I got a great relationship with God. You know, and he's a godly man. He's just, I just don't, what do I do? Well, kind of took me a little off guard. So here's some thoughts I've been meditating through with, I think help us. So how do we do this? How do we get to this place where we're delighting in the instruction of the Lord? And as I hinted to earlier, it's all about input. Well, what's consuming my mind? If I have, they're saying garbage in, garbage out. So if you have bad data coming in, you're going to get a bad product going out. And so if what I'm focusing my mental energy on is not stuff coming from God, well, then I can't expect godly, healthy, fruitful results. We can look at, well, what is our motivation for opening Scripture? So I don't have the proper motivation. Am I going there to memorize more? Is it just so I can get more knowledge about God? Is it just obligatory hoping, well, Lord, I know that your Scripture says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides to bone and marrow. So I'm hoping that maybe if I just read this thing, something will pop out, and maybe you'll get me. And certainly that happens when we open the Word of God. But how do we get to that part of delight? I would say step one, have you ever just prayed for it? It says very clear right here, very clear on your screen, the delight. Have you ever prayed, Lord, your Scripture is clear. I should be delighting in you, delighting in your instruction. Have you ever prayed towards that end? Lord, help me. Help me to want you like that. If you're not even at that place, I see this is where I'm supposed to be. Lord, help me to get there. Looking at your own heart, what brings joy? Joy and delight, they're similar words. What brings joy to your heart? Well, when you think about God, when you worship God, for me, I love worship music. I love contemporary Christian worship music. And so for me, I can listen to a song or two, and that puts me right in the perfect spot. For others, it might be hymns, it might be bluegrass. It might not be worship music at all. Some of you might be saying, hey, these 3-4 songs you guys do, I appreciate you putting the effort, but I'm just not a musically oriented person. And there's people like that. Some people, I talked to a worship leader, he says, his wife does not feel like she gets closer to God in worship, in singing songs. But in the Word of God is where, so when she sees Scripture, man, that, boom, immediately she's in that worshipful spot. Probably, if you're that person, delaying the law of the Lord is not a hard thing for you. But my point is, getting yourself in that spot where you can be there. I can pray and read my Bible in my bedroom as I can sitting on my front porch. For me, my front porch is so much more fruitful for me. I can sit there, I can look at the sky, the trees, the whatever, and just, man, God's creation, there's something neat about God's creation that just puts me in that right spot. Where then I can go and I can take that heart in the right spot and go to His Word. And it does awesome, wonderful, amazing things. Perhaps we're not delighting. One cause sometimes is maybe there's unrepentant sin. If there's something that I'm holding on to, I'm harboring on to, I haven't fully given to God in repentance, that's going to hinder. I'm not saying that is or isn't what you have to explore that for yourself. I would encourage you, if there's a scripture that, man, as you're reading through and it just really pops off the page, meditate on that. On that puppy. Spend time, dig into it, and start picking it apart. I don't know, maybe that's just me, the preacher, who really enjoys that sort of stuff, but spending more time, and wow, I find when I dig deeper and deeper, I mean, the weekly preparation is so much fun for me because I get to dig deeper and deeper in the Word of God, and it's just so awesome and fruitful. But especially when I find that one verse, man, this is so awesome. I found myself just at night sitting, thinking about this verse, and man, wow, the streams of water, and just all the, whew, this is pretty awesome stuff. There's probably things that I should have mentioned that I didn't mention. I would love to hear if you say, hey, Brian, this is what I do. I would love to hear that because I'm sure I'm going to come across somebody who works for Lynette. I can pass that off to Rachel. Have you tried what she does and reverse vice? And man, how do we get to this place where we're delighting in God and what He's revealed to us? That's going to yield the great fruit. Scripture already promised that. So how can it not? So we're going to close up. I have asked Janna to play Janice. One of these years I'll learn both of your names. You're different people. I know that, probably. So we're just going to have a time just to reflection. I encourage you just try to delight in the Lord. Just whatever He's revealed to you, what He's blessed you, what He's given you, just spend that time. Or even just asking, Lord, help me to delight in you like your Scripture clearly says I ought to. So we'll do that for about a minute or so. I'll pray us out of that, and then the worship team will come up and close us out with a little song. Lord, today we come to you as a people earnestly desiring. We want to love you more. We want to delight in how you've revealed yourself to us. I pray that you would radically transform each of our hearts, that we would just love you with deeper and deeper intensity. And Lord, that love would be evident to those around us, those who know us. And Lord, it would just be transformative in our lives, and that we would bear the fruit that you've created each and every one of us to bear in its season. Lord, I thank you for that promise. All I have to do is delight in you, abide in you, and you do the rest. Thank you so much. Amen.